My name is Greg Peters. I'm the insurance analyst here at Raymond James. Beginning off our last day of the conference here, we have ProAssurance. ProAssurance is the leading or a leading medical malpractice insurance company, and frankly, probably the bellwether medical malpractice insurance stock in the marketplace. We have the management team here today, and to begin the presentation, we have Ned Rand, who's the Chief Financial Officer, and I'm going to turn the mic over to Ned to begin with the presentation.
Thanks, Greg, and good morning. I would go back to that. We are the leading medical liability insurance company. Get my slides going here. Okay, terrific. We're actually the fourth largest writer of medical liability, professional medical liability insurance in the country. We're the largest pure play publicly traded company in the space. We're a specialty insurer. We insure 57,000 policyholders, and you can see the breakout of the policyholders, and I would point out this is policyholders, not premium dollars that's on this slide. The vast majority of who we insure are physicians and dentists, although we do insure attorneys and other healthcare providers as well. Kind of taking a quick look at 2009, we're a very long-term focused company, but I think 2009 is very representative of what we try to achieve. We have a real focus on book value and book value per share, and we were able to grow book value per share in 2009 23%. And I would note that in 2008, we also grew book value per share by about 10%. So we didn't just rebound off of a negative number in 2008. We saw revenues increase 19% in 2009, largely because of acquisitions. We closed on three acquisitions during the year that we'll cover later on in the presentation. In addition to that, we grew earnings 28%. And are producing new business. It's a challenging environment, and Stan will touch on the environment that we're operating in a second, but it is a very challenging environment that we're in right now. I mentioned book value per share, and that being a metric that we find very important, I would say really probably the most important metric that we monitor as an organization. And this shows our history since 1991 when we became a public company, and over that time you can see that we've had a 14% compound annual growth rate in book value per share, and a somewhat similar track record, although maybe a little more ups and downs when you look at share price. When you put those two together, and what this slide does is it tries to capture both of those, and the yellow line is our stock price, and it's measured against the right hand of the graph. The green line is our book value per share. And then the green solid area looks at where our stock is trading as a multiple of that book value per share. Right now we're trading at just over 1x book value, but you can see historically we've averaged about 1.5x book value. We're in somewhat of a cyclical downturn in the P&C industry, which we believe is a big driver of that. Another way that we measure our performance is looking at how we're doing versus the industry. And I thought this information was quite interesting. Moody's, in 2009, based on 2008 data, put out a study of what it called the top 100 P&C insurance companies in the U.S., and this included public as well as mutual companies. And we ranked 95th largest P&C company in the U.S. But when they got to looking at the performance metrics, the measures that they look at to point towards successful companies, we ranked quite well. The operating ratio, which captures all aspects of the operation. If you're familiar with the insurance business, you oftentimes hear about the combined ratio, which takes the losses and the expenses against the premium we earn. Well, the operating ratio takes that same metric and just adds investment income to the equation. We had the lowest, because the low number is better here, we had the lowest operating ratio of the 100 companies they surveyed. We had the second lowest combined ratio, the fifth lowest loss ratio, and the fifth highest return on equity out of those 100 companies. Just looking to 2009, I'll point to a couple of items in 2009. I mentioned earlier that we saw an increase in premium during the year, largely, again, because of acquisitions. Investment income is an area right now where there are a lot of challenges. I think, as you all are aware, we're in a very low interest rate environment. Our investment portfolio, which we'll look at in a minute, has a duration of about 4 years. And we're finding that as money matures out of that portfolio, it's a challenge to reinvest it at the rates that are expiring. So we're seeing some downward pressure on investment income. In spite of that, we continue to see very favorable results. One of the things that contributed to our results, our strong results in both 2008 and 2009, was favorable development in our loss reserves, a little over $200 million in favorable development in 2009. We have a very unlevered balance sheet, and I think that's important for several reasons. I mentioned the acquisitions earlier in the presentation that we did last year, and we have grown through acquisitions. I think it's about 19 acquisitions in total when you look at all the companies that have come together to form ProAssurance. And by having low leverage on our balance sheet, we certainly have the capacity to do significant acquisitions. We could add debt to the balance sheet with very little risk. This also served us very well during the last 18 months, where liquidity was very important and capital was very important. We have very little constraints on our capital. We are somewhat overcapitalized, and as a result, have been deploying that capital back into the stock market, buying back our stock. We repurchased 1.1 million shares in 2009 and have around $100 million remaining on an authorization from our board. Mentioned the investment portfolio. It's a $3.8 billion portfolio. During 2009, we sought to bring down short-term investments, probably the area where we felt the impact of what's going on in the investment markets, the most significantly, going from earning 300-plus basis points on our short-term investments to earning 5 or 7 basis points on our short-term investments. We have been adding to the portfolio, largely municipal bonds and corporate exposures, industrial corporates in particular. You'll see that a large portion of the portfolio is municipal bonds, very tax-favorable strategy for us, and that's the reason that we show a tax-equivalent yield when we talk about yield on the portfolio. The yield on the portfolio, tax-equivalent yield, 5.3%. The AA portfolio, and for those of you who have an interest, I should flip back. For those of you who have an interest, you'll see the URL up on the screen. We post the entire portfolio on our website every quarter, so anyone that wants to go in and see individual securities, it goes down to the CUSIP level. It's a pretty detailed analysis of our portfolio that we make available. With that, I'll turn things over to Stan.
Thank you, Ned. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. Ned, recap for you 2009 and our historical performance, and presented to you the picture of a company that has enjoyed long-term success. The great results that have been achieved consistently on the basis of intensity and discipline in a very, very volatile business. As you look back over the past 35 years or so in the medical professional liability world, I'd like to talk to you about four areas this morning that I think demonstrate what differentiates ProAssurance from its competitors and provides us with such a solid place in the market. First, we've experienced growth in difficult markets and growth in less challenging markets. We have a broad array of knowledge that comes from not only our market diversification, but our broad experience. Our claims operation is a key differentiator in the marketplace, and it in turn has produced financial results that flow from policyholder satisfaction and loyalty. And then fourthly, I want to touch on one thing that really sets ProAssurance apart in terms of how we see the marketplace and how we deal with the marketplace. First, as to growth, our footprint stretches throughout the United States, and the medical professional liability business is such that if you're in business in 40 states, you're in 40 different businesses, because the underwriting environment and the claims environment can vary greatly from state to state. So that even those states which are contiguous with each other and have some geographic affinity, In fact, doing business or doing this business in those states is very, very different. Most of this growth has been obtained over the years through our M&A activities. The chart that's in front of you, the dark green states are our historic business, and the light green states were those which were added last year through our PICA transaction. As Ned mentioned, we're the fourth largest writer in terms of gross premium in the United States, the largest in terms of a pure play publicly traded carrier. We're the leading writer in Alabama, Delaware, Wisconsin, and the District of Columbia, and we're a top five writer in 11 other states. There's plenty of room for organic growth in our footprint, but right now is not the time to try to achieve that organic growth in aggressive pattern because of the soft pricing market. For those of you who may be less familiar with the property and casualty business, there's a little bit of counterintuitiveness to your growth. You can have all the top-line growth you want. You can just aggregate as many premium dollars as you care to have, and you can be the biggest overnight. The problem is, to do that in a soft market, you're going to undercharge for your risk. You won't see the results of that 3, 4, 5, 6 years because this is a long-tail business, and then you will see disaster. So the time for organic growth is in a time of hard pricing markets, and this is not that. We continue to remain in a soft pricing market. Yet, as Ned pointed out to you last year, we were able to grow our top line through a small amount of organic internal growth, but mainly through our M&A activities. We completed 3 transactions in 2009, the largest of which was PICA, the Podiatric Insurance Company of America. It is based in Nashville. It has a 70% plus market share in the podiatric community. It enjoys a 93-94% retention of its policyholders. We continue to run it as a standalone in Nashville because of its strong brand recognition. PICA added about $77 million of new premium to our balance sheet in 2009. A smaller transaction was the Mid-Continent transaction in Houston, Texas. It is a means through which we write allied health care. The provision of health care in this country will continue to be pushed down to the cheapest possible provider. That includes home health care providers, where somebody will come to the home, take the blood pressure, administer the insulin, do things that today are done in doctor's offices and hospitals. These ancillary health care providers have to have professional liability insurance. You can't underwrite them the same way we can underwrite a physician just because the premium is not large enough. And from a cost standpoint, you can't begin to bring the same amount of attention to a home health care provider's underwriting as you do to a physician's underwriting. Mid-Continent has real expertise in that, and they've enabled us to enter that market, and they produced $14 million of premium last year. And finally, Georgia Lawyers Insurance Company, a legal malpractice carrier in Georgia we've written legal malpractice for many years, but this is the first foray into the Southeast in that regard. Those 3 transactions are typical of the historical transactions ProAssurance has entered over the years and has resulted in the company that we are today. The chart in front of you there shows the many transactions. I think there are about 19 in total. So we have lots of experience in not only negotiating transactions, but more importantly, in integrating the company in question into our operation. And typically, PICA is not a good example of that because we have intentionally left PICA as a standalone. But typically, we will take the company that we have acquired, we will leave its underwriting, claims operations, risk management operations in place and direct those as we do throughout the country. So it makes for a fairly seamless transaction and integration, and we've been pleased with the results that style has produced for us. M&A in this space is opportunistic and episodic. You can't set your eyes on a deal flow and expect it just to happen as you predict it. They come along on an unexpected basis, and you have to be in a position to react when they come along. The size of ProAssurance gives us several advantages. As I mentioned, it gives us the advantage of knowledge from different markets. We don't depend on what others find out. We're able to experience various states ourselves and determine from that knowledge base where we need to be in a particular state and what we need to be doing. It also gives us a spread of risk. Many of the companies that are in our space are 1- and 2-state mutual companies, so they have a concentration there. that does not permit them to diversify the risk. And so if a carrier is writing, say, in State A and State B, and State A's tort reform is overturned, then that has a very different impact on that company than it would on ours, where we write around the United States. As that map indicates, we also, as I mentioned, have maintained our local presence in these various states, because from a claim standpoint and underwriting standpoint particularly, this remains a very, very local business. Let me speak to you about claims for just a second. You know, the claims we handle, that is, defending physicians against whom a professional liability claim has been made, are very different from the claims, say, that a homeowner's company would handle or an automobile carrier would handle. And the reason they're very different is because they're so personal to the insured. They have an impact on his current life. They have an impact on her future as a physician. And the physicians take them very personally, as well they should, because the lawsuit accuses them of injuring or killing their patient. And it's important that we have a claims process that is attentive to the physician's feelings in that regard, and it serves the physician's best interest through the claims philosophy of the company. And the claims philosophy of ProAssurance is very simple. We want to quickly settle those claims that involve a breach of the standard of care causing injury or damage to a patient. And we don't want to pay a penny in those claims that are not claims of liability, where there has been no breach of the standard of care, or where there's been no causation with respect to the patient. And that means that we're willing to try cases. Everybody says that. Everybody says we defend cases. Everybody says they're willing to try cases. But there are things about ProAssurance that set us apart. First, in terms of the number of cases that we try. As far as I know, we're the only company in the country that will tell you how many cases we tried last year. People will talk about the percent of win, an utterly meaningless figure unless you know how many cases you tried. But ProAssurance continues to try more cases than anybody, and we tell you exactly that number. We tried 444 claims in 2009. As you can see, that was down a bit from 2008, but that's because our claims inventory is down a bit. As a result of declining frequency, claims inventories have been flat to declining. But we took the same percentage of open cases to trial, and it was a broad range of cases throughout the United States. Ohio is a state where we have a substantial business presence. We're not the largest writer in Ohio. It's not our biggest state in terms of premium volume. But Ohio is a good state to look at a microcosm of the claims handling philosophy of the various companies. Roughly 90 companies have reported to the state of Ohio insurance department about their medical professional liability. All the companies that are big players are there, and a number of the smaller players are there. Every company now will tell you we believe in a strong defense. Every company will tell you we let the lawyers try cases. But look at what the data from Ohio shows you companies really do. ProAssurance closes more cases, more claims in Ohio with no indemnity payment. If you look at all the carriers other than ProAssurance, you will see that they pay indemnity in 25% of the cases they close. Indemnity is a payment to the plaintiff. ProAssurance pays indemnity in only 7% of the cases that are closed. 93% of our claims in Ohio during this 2005 to 2008 time period resulted in the payment of no indemnity. That means in those cases where the physician was not liable, the physician walked away vindicated. Very, very important to the physician. And this gives us something to offer our physicians that no other company can offer. This is a stunning difference in the claims handling ability of the company. If we go further to look at how ProAssurance achieved this result, you'll see that we pay about $1,200 more per claim during this 2005-2008 period than the other companies in Ohio. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot till you take that across all the claims in Ohio for all of those years. And the number is stunning in terms of its size. We pay a lot more to defend our physicians than anybody else. But it's that willingness to pay the lawyers, to defend the doctors, to secure the vindication for the physician that results in the fact that we pay indemnity dollars less than a third as much as the other companies pay. Now, it's costly to hire lawyers, but it provides the physicians with a defense. So that if you look, Again, at the Ohio closed claims file from 2005 to 2008, ProAssurance closed more claims as a result of a trial than any other company. Of all our competitors, only 4% of their claims were closed with a trial. 13% of ours were closed with a trial. That's why we're the only company that will tell you how many cases we took to trial, because the numbers are so small in comparison with ours. We took three times more than the competitors' cases to trial. Again, why is this important to the physician? You know, when the physician buys his policy, everybody says, we'll defend you. We'll seek to vindicate you. But the only way, in many cases, to get vindication is through a trial. Now, a lot of cases just go away on their own. They're dismissed, plaintiff gets tired, the lawyer quits, whatever. But the handful of cases that are left, what happens in those cases? And is a carrier really willing to take them to trial? Has the carrier priced his product for the risk of a trial? Has the carrier priced his product for the expense of a trial? If the carrier hasn't done those things, I can just tell you from all those years of practicing law, they start gaming the physician to settle the case from the day it's tried. And the result of that is they settle the case. They don't offer the physician the opportunity to be vindicated when he hadn't done anything wrong. What's the impact of that to the physician? The impact is for the rest of his life on every privileges application, he'll have to report that he settled a lawsuit. In 17 states in this country, and I suspect soon to come in all states in this country, every physician's professional liability disposition record is going to be on the Internet, so that when Ms. Jones is referred to physician, she'll go and look that physician up on the Internet and see what happened. And if she sees that he settled two cases or three cases, what is she going to think? In the eyes of the common public, people don't settle cases unless they did something wrong. Why would you pay money if you hadn't done something wrong? So the physicians have a real stake. Now, the insurance company, on the other hand, gets just to close the file. It'll go away, and it's closed as far as the insurance company is concerned. They've saved some money on ALAE, and the matter's behind them. But have they really done the physician the service to which the physician is entitled by taking that approach? As a result of all of this, and this is the final slide in Ohio, you see that we pay far less in indemnity payments. Our competition with respect to closed files pays an average indemnity of $67,000 per file. ProAssurance pays less than $30,000 per file, closed file, in Ohio. This produces a real distinction between us and our competitors. This is what keeps us from becoming a commodity. This is what enables us to offer our customers real benefits, and it has benefits to our shareholders as well, as you can see from that slide. The fourth area I want to touch on very quickly, because our time is about up, is what we call treated fairly. Treated fairly is what we feel further sets us apart in our space from our competitors. Treated fairly is simply a way of doing business at ProAssurance. And what we mean by that is we want everyone with whom we have any encounter to come away from that encounter feeling and believing that they were treated fairly by the company. This doesn't mean that the customer is always right, because the customer is not always right. But it does mean that we'll seek to understand the customer's point of view, the customer's understanding, the customer's desires, the customer's expectation, and we'll respond in a transparent fashion. It means that with respect to our treatment of our employees, the same attitude will prevail. With respect to the treatment of our agents and all those with whom we come in contact, our shareholders. Ned mentioned to you that we posted our investment portfolio on the Internet. We think that's fair. You shouldn't have to sit around at night worried about what's in the investment portfolio. You can go to the Internet and model it yourself and see exactly what you want to see about it. So the notion is that this treated fairly will pervade every person at ProAssurance from top to bottom and bottom to top, with respect to every encounter we have with our various constituency groups, be it a telephone call or be it a lawsuit. And we want people to walk away knowing that they're dealing with something that really makes a difference in their professional liability experience. So the future will very much be a product of the past. We'll continue to build on growth opportunities as they present themselves. We'll apply our unparalleled market knowledge to make the decisions of what risk we're willing to insure, what cases we can take, what states we can take cases to trial, and we'll seek to leverage that claims experience in a way that provides real value to our customers. And through the application of Treated Fairly, we think we'll be able to sustain the position we've created. ProAssurance has a great, great future, in my view. The future that exists because of the commitment of our policyholders to the company, because of the commitment of our employees to the company, and because of the commitment of our long-term investors to the company. We've got about a minute left, and I'll be pleased to answer whatever questions you may have. Yes, sir. Yeah, you know, if I knew when it was going to happen, I'd... The soft market, you know, the only thing we know is that something will happen to flip the market, and you don't know what it is. But typically what has to happen is either the carriers themselves have to become capacity impaired, capital impaired somehow, or the reinsurers on whom many of those carriers depend become capacity impaired. So if you look back over various hard and soft markets, you'll see that frequently there was some event that sort of triggered a hardening of the market. Maybe unusual cat exposures in a particular year where the reinsurers took significant losses and therefore have to up their prices across the board. It can vary from state to state. As I mentioned, much of this coverage is provided by one or two state mutual insurers, and if something happens with them and they become capital impaired, then they'll have to change their pricing structure to make certain. The environment we're in today from an investment standpoint should have, if people are acting rationally, an impact on underwriting decisions. You know, there is no investment margin of error here. Sometimes you can underwrite, there's a temptation, steadfastly try to avoid this, but there's a temptation to engage in underwriting just to get the business in the door and try to make up for inadequate pricing by your investment returns. Well, that train left. There are no investment returns to be made that are outside, that can make up for outsized underwriting mistakes, because you're in a low interest rate environment and investment income is going to be very, very challenged this year. Now, watch what companies do with that. Some will be tempted to extend duration to try to build yield. It's all just building for a point where the market pricing turns. Something will happen. I wish I could tell you when. Yes, sir. Yeah. First, on the federal level, there has not been any meaningful tort reform on the federal level, and I don't know whether the health care reform will pass in Congress in the next few weeks or whether it will not, but I would bet a lot of money that it will contain no meaningful tort reform. And they may put experiments in it, they may do this or that, but there'll be no meaningful tort reform in my view in what they pass, and that's a shame, not because of what it does to us as an insurance carrier, but because of what it'll do to this country in terms of access to care. On a state level, you have to go state by state. Some states have passed it and have had it upheld. Other states have passed it and have had it thrown out. And you just have to think about it on a state-by-state basis. We do not price tort reform into our product until it's been declared constitutional by the highest court in the state. And then, and only then, do we price it into our product based on the data we see emerging from it. Illinois declared its tort reform statute unconstitutional about 3 weeks ago. We write in Illinois, though not a big book, but we'd never considered that tort reform because it wasn't in the data and it hadn't been upheld. If a company is in Illinois and had been writing pricing business on the basis of the validity of that tort reform, then they've got an issue now because it's not valid. So you just have to look at it on a state-by-state basis, and the impact it's had varies greatly from state to state. There's some states that have upheld tort reform where it makes a lot of sense and it's helped. There are other states where the tort reform has had a minimal impact. Yes, sir. Yes, it's one of the factors in what we call the environmental issues that we face in terms of how much we're willing to write in a particular state and what we're willing to write in a particular state. And that's one of the factors that goes into the mix, is whether the state has meaningful tort reform. And, you know, sometimes it's not so much the strict tort reform itself that attracts us, but it's the fact that tort reform is evidence of an attitude in that state that is favorable to us, and it's not hostile to us. You know, bear in mind that we operate in a world where everybody from the President of the United States down seeks to demonize insurance companies, and we have to work very hard to make certain people understand that all insurance companies are not demons. Good. Thank you very much.